Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. After He rose from the dead, having been crucified, buried, and then raised from the dead, Jesus says this in His post-resurrection ministry, quote, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 at the end of it. And when we begin to realize biblical truth and it begins to take its proper place, each component of it, the foundation of which is Christ Himself, oh, how we need Christology, how we need more and more glorious Christology. That is the study of Christ, a simple word, nothing fancy. It just simply means the study of Christ. And notice, Jesus Christ is God, beloved, and He created all that is. Colossians 1:16, for by Him, that's Christ, were all things created. Notice, not some, but all things created. Remember, Jesus said that all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto Him. Why would that be a surprise, knowing that by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether you can see them or not? Jesus made it all, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ is in control of all things. The government of God, and He is God, rests upon Him who is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Notice Colossians 1:17. John 1 and Colossians 1 are two great places to start for Christology, to learn Christ. I'm so amazed. I know many of you are, or should we say shocked, that so little teaching in the modern church goes on about Jesus Christ Himself. Seems like we just want to use the Lord to get things for ourselves instead of truly getting to know Him. And if we love Him, we want to know Him. And we're going to delve into Christology, or study, the study of Christ. We're going to study and learn Him. Paul said that I may know him in the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10, Jesus Himself told us when He was praying to the Father the whole purpose for which He created mankind. John chapter 17, verse 3, for this is life eternal. This is the whole purpose for eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. John 17:3. If there was a most important verse in the Bible, perhaps that would be it. That one, or John 3:16, etc. Notice verse 18, Colossians 1. It continues, and He is the head of the body, the church. See, any church that has any other head but Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the Jesus Christ given to us in the Word of God, is a false church and has a false head or headship, such as the Roman Catholic Church. Their head is the so-called Vicar of Christ, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. So you know that is a false church, because Jesus Christ is not the head of the Roman Catholic Church. He's the head of His body, and everything within the Roman Catholic Church is a contradiction to Christ and to His redemptive work. It's a mockery of His gospel, where He paid for the sins of the world one time the perfect, sinless, sufficient price of justification by shedding his perfect, pure, sinless blood on the altar of the cross. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the scripture teaches in the original gospel, it satisfied the claims of the Father's justice. And so the Catholic Mass pretends to re-sacrifice Jesus Christ every Mass. In fact, when you are a Catholic, as I grew up, you take the host, they call it the host, H-O-S-T. It's a little wheat wafer in Latin, which is what Catholicism is based in. In fact, it used to be nothing but Latin, their so-called masses. It means the word, the Latin word for host is hostia, and it means the victim. See, Jesus is the victim of every Catholic pagan mass. They pretend to re-sacrifice the Son of God because they are blasphemously in denial, satanically in denial, that his one sacrifice, which the scripture says he died once, quote unquote, he offered his blood once. That's a theme in the New Testament. Jesus said, it is finished, it's final, it's paid in full, because his sacrifice was perfect. So if you're the head of your life is the Pope, God's calling you to repent and be saved, to come to Jesus, the only nail-scarred, risen Savior, the only one that can forgive your sins. Matthew 9:6, Jesus said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. In this message, we're talking about the power of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the authority of the King of all kings, who made all that exists. He created it. And then he came into this world that he created, John 1:10, and he lived a sinless life, showed us the Father, and then died on a cross, offering his precious blood on this altar of the cross in fulfillment of prophecy to redeem fallen mankind. Hallelujah. John 1:10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. So Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is preeminent above all his creation. All the power of heaven has been placed into his hands, and he is the Almighty. Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, what is the context there? That stands alone and is linked to so many other scriptures. Among those are the ones we just read. So all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want you to remember those words of our dear Savior, the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings. All, not some, but all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, the words all power, is in Jesus Christ, friends, and therefore all things are yours, quote unquote. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Now the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says all things are yours. Why? Because you're Christ. You're in Christ, and all power has been given unto him. All power from heaven is available to every disciple of Jesus in fulfilling the mission he came to accomplish when he stated that he must be about his Father's business, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And notice that's the context, too, in which Jesus said, all power, this is the immediate context, is given unto me. Notice verse 18, Matthew 20, the last three verses of the book of Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, in other words, he sent us forth in his holy name and with his authority. That's what name means. In the name of Jesus means in the authority of the one who made everything that is. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Most High, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Most High. That means literally what it says. There's nothing or no one higher. He is the Most High. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, being that all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, I'm sending you in my name, in my authority, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice Jesus did not say, this is the King James Bible, which is all you will ever hear on this channel and on this website, by absolute intention. There's a whole cache category called Bible Versions Issue. I highly recommend you check it out. You may find that your favorite fake Bible is on there, exposed for the satanic corruption and counterfeit that it is. Now, I want to point out here, this isn't our main direction here today. Doesn't seem like, but let's let the Lord be in control of that. But Jesus did not say, go make disciples. That is a mistranslation. You can say that about any of these fake Bibles. Don't ever apply that to the King James Bible. If you think there's a mistranslation in the King James Bible, it's because you have misunderstood something. And how dare you try to correct God's word that he preserved to us, which he promised to do in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. And again, that's not our main topic, so let's bounce back here. It does not say go make disciples. There's nowhere in the King James Bible that says go make disciples. Now, this is going to set somebody free here, because I used to be under that impression that it was up to me to go make disciples. I can't make anybody a disciple. Only Jesus can do that. Think about it. How many people can you obey God for? How many people are you responsible before God in obedience? What obedience is your responsibility before the divine authority of Jesus Christ? Your own. That's it. Ezekiel even tells us we aren't even going to be ultimately held accountable for the decisions our children make or our fathers. And they're not responsible for the decisions we make. So you can't make a disciple. He's saying here, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. You teach them what I taught. You give them my word, and they have to choose. It's about time we get our hands off of ministry and let the Holy Ghost work. It's just flat out amazing as the cross takes its fuller, more complete effect in our lives into the most core, the deepest core of our beings, as it circumcises the fat, the ugly stuff, the defiling stuff out of our lives. We're going to get our hands off of ministry and let God be God and stop trying to put everybody under us. That's against the teachings of Jesus. Book of Matthew, throughout Scripture. You know, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul wasn't building a denomination or some kind of an organization like so many people, large and small and large, are doing. You know, they won't support you in your work for Christ if you're not going in their name. See, it's all about them. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All authority and power is given unto me in heaven and earth, not you. He didn't call you and save you and send you forth to build your own empire. If you're doing that, God's calling you to repent. And he's going to say, if you don't, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. He's not going to say, well done. You pumped your own self up. You promoted and perpetuated your own existence in the name of your so-called church. It's time to repent, lay an axe to the root, and cry out to God to strip us of every false way that's still in us, which we all need that prayer, and we always will. But God wants to do a deeper work. He wants us to repent and confess any defilement, any uncleanness of any sort in our lives. We're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And that, at the core of it, is what is our identity? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14. So let it be among us, beloved, and let us teach men the word of God, and let God do the rest. We can't make anybody obey. And by the way, why are we trying to do that heavy-handedly in an unwarranted fashion anyway? Who do we think we are? We've got a whole category on Nicolaitans. Some would say Nicolaitans. I call it Nicolaitans. Not sure of the exact pronunciation, but I think that fits it better. sounds it out. Jesus said he hated the deeds and doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Go to the drop-down menu on safeguardyoursoul.com. You can click it and then just hit N. I'll scroll down to the ends and look up the Nicolaitans. We've got several posts on it and even MP3s. This has set a lot of people free. There's a lot of heavy-handed ministry going on where people are manipulating. They're operating in witchcraft. We also have another message I'm recalling the title of, Witchcraft in the Pulpits. No man is your covering. If you got a man or men as your covering, you're in trouble. For the true disciple, he declares with Psalm 91:1, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the covering, that is, of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. No man can cover you, and any man or ministry claiming to cover you and be your covering is absolutely a warlock and witch ministry. And please tell him I said that on the authority of the Word of God. Look up cover or covering in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. That is pure witchcraft. So beware. All power in heaven and earth is in Jesus Christ, he said. And only those who submit to him are under his authority and power and have invested in them in his holy name and by his word, his divine authority. You know, the Bible says here in Matthew that Jesus Christ, the longest sermon on record, closes out with these words where the scripture notes that Jesus was totally unlike the false religionist today. He actually had heaven's authority, which they didn't have, and it showed up in their powder puff ministries that they perpetuated. They perpetuated their poisons. It ends the longest message on record that Jesus taught. Many call it the sermon. Well, it's the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, etc. It closes this way: for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus, who has all power and given unto him in heaven and earth, had authority. When he taught, he rocked people's world. He had all authority in himself, and we're complete in him, but he had all of heaven's authority because he is the king of heaven. He made all that is. And when he taught, because of who he is, there was great power to change lives. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, there's a difference between true men of God and some of these powder puff pansies of today with their little weak teachings that do not include the full counsel of God's word. Notice that in the beginning, chapter 5, verse 1 of this longest Sermon on the Mount message of Christ on record, it starts this way. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, or sat down, I suppose, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you think that might be important for us as we walk with him and he uses us concerning the end of this message that spans three chapters in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, where he says he spoke as one that had authority and not as a scribe. See, if we are poor in spirit, we are dead and buried with Christ, the cross, he's going to be resurrecting or raising us up in his power. And there's going to be heaven's authority invested in us and, more importantly, flowing through us. Amen. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth, not unto us, not our little denomination. So many people, they feel the call, a lot of them call themselves, but to ministry, and then they run and submit themselves to the state instead of the Savior. They go get a 501c3. In other words, now the state, they actually submitted to the state and rejected the Savior's reign in their lives and their work for Christ. So now the state can tell them when, where, and what to preach. Think about the COVID thing that exposed all of these animals, these false prophets. We should have already seen them for what they were, and we did see them in as much as we are men of God in the truth of God. The more you get in the Bible, you're going to see how much New Testament Christianity and Christ do not have in common with what calls itself the church today. I walked into the biggest church in the city here, and these frauds had 6-foot rule, mask requirements, and my spirit was so shook up and stirred up. total false church. Jesus Christ had nothing to do with that. The Bible says in Leviticus 13 that when people are sick, they're to go quarantine themselves, not society. That's absolute clear evidence that they're under the power of the state and not the Savior. The reason why they got a 501c3 is so that they could give a tax write-off to the people that gave to them. It's all about the money, folks, to false disciples or false brethren, as the Bible calls them. So, and by the way, look up 501. Just put the numbers 501 in the search box on Safeguard. We got a post on that. It'll just blow your wig off. It's incredible. Okay, so Jesus said at the end, it's recorded at the end of Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. In other words, I'm giving you and investing my power in you, and teach all nations. Teach them, and then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of Son and the Holy Ghost. People along the way, several decades that I've been a Christian, always ask, whose name do you baptize in? Well, I cover all bases, because these are the words of Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of Son and the Holy Ghost. All three members of the Godhead, of who had integral parts in the salvation of man. We are, for example, Ephesians 1, chosen of the Father, verse 4, verse 7, redeemed by the Son, and verse 13, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that exciting? So why not baptize in the name or in the authority of Jesus Christ? I baptize you, I always do it this way, in the name of Jesus Christ and his authority, because he's speaking right here in verse 19. I baptize you in his name and in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. Nobody can argue with that. I wouldn't care if they did. So we are to go and teach all nations and baptize them, water baptize them, an outward testimony and profession that you've been born again. You got to be saved before you get water baptism. Water baptism does not save you. Jesus saves you. At the moment you repent and receive him, you're saved immediately. He that believeth hath everlasting life, John 6:47. We got much rich content if you look up water baptism category or just put it into search box. So Jesus tells us, go teach all nations and baptize them. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. In other words, teach them the whole word of God. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple. How many times have you read through the Bible, friend? We got time to do everything else. Waste just hours upon weeks, months, and years doing all kinds of frivolous stuff. And how many times have you read through the Bible? God wants you to know all of his word. That's clear. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. So his intent, the divine person of the Holy Spirit, is to have you read what he inspired. And that's the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It's very clear. God wants you to know all of his word. So he ends with this, and lo, I am with you on this mission, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus is saying, all power is given to me. Now I'm sending you to teach all of my word and water baptize people unto me, saved and water baptized unto him, not an organization of mere sinful men that have set up their little religious empire, and teach them the whole word of God, and I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. That's pretty much a summation of that passage. So we're talking about all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus said. And so all things are yours. I mean, somebody listening right now might be struggling because they have a need, a financial need, for example. Now remember, all things are yours because you're Christ. And Christ said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. The actual wording is, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So let me ask you, what is it that your Father doesn't own and can't get to you? Nothing. You might only have such and such a dollar amount in your bank account, but your bank account, because you're the Lord Jesus' child, is infinite. All things are yours, because you're in Christ, who created all that is, and in whom is invested all power in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. And that power is invested in you through, or it's appropriated by, your oneness with Christ, John 17, your abiding life in union with Jesus, John 15, and his word in you, his name in you. And it's there not for you to do your own bidding. That would be a contradiction to what's required for you to appropriate and walk in his divine power, and that's to be crucified with Christ, abiding with and in Christ. So Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. In the context of the end of Matthew 28, the Great Commission there, it's to go teach others. to go spread his word, his gospel. Freely you have received, freely give, Matthew 10:8. And so God empowers us to do his mission, and that's called the Father's business in Luke 2:49, Jesus called it. If you're about your Father's business, then you're going to be empowered as you walk with Christ, by Christ, to do his work. And his work there is to teach his word. At the end of Mark, he's talking about preaching his word, casting out devils, etc. At the end of each of the Gospels is the Great Commission. I encourage you to go through the end, the very end of each of the four Gospels, prayerfully, and perhaps put together all four of those passages on Jesus commissioning us, you, to do his work until he comes. Now, in context, when Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, our Lord is speaking in terms of being used powerfully in making him known or teaching his word to others, in being possessed with the same mission and power or authority in his name as he came with and perfectly fulfilled to serve him and to serve others. Amen. If God is your Father, if you are his child, all things are yours. And with this truth in mind, as I mentioned earlier, tell God what you have need of and what you desire and his wisdom and everything else that you desire. He said, ask and you shall receive. All things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3:21. And as he is, so are you in this world. 1 John 4:17. So ask and you shall receive. The Lord is finally teaching me to more quickly simply ask and not try to get things myself without first asking him. Ask him, the great intercessor at the Father's right hand, and it will be answered in his name. Jesus promised, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. John 14:13-14. He also said this, John 16:23-24, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Didn't he tell us that all power is in his name? The name of Jesus. I mean, you can walk into any room with sinners galore and say, in the name of Buddha, nothing's going to happen. In the name of the Pope, definitely nothing going to happen there. In the name of Muhammad, nothing. Those are false prophets, all of them. But when you say, in the name of Jesus, something happens, whether you feel it or not. And every believer knows it. It's in the name of Jesus that we see the miracles in the New Testament. Perhaps one of the most poignant, concentrated places is the book of Acts. Okay, after the day of Pentecost, his followers were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter was used by God to, God did a miracle, and a lame man from his mother's womb was raised up. Peter and the apostle said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Acts chapter 3. And that man was raised up. He was lame from his mother's womb. And here he is, walking and leaping and praising God. What a notable miracle, the scripture says. And in verse 16, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made, and his name, through faith in his name. Do you have faith in the name of Jesus? Father, we pray right now that you would invest in us and increase our faith to have faith in the name of Jesus. And we do pray this and all prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let it be, Lord. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. They knew him. The townspeople knew this dude was flat out on the ground, lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked a step. And I believe he was 38 years old. The text tells us. And then he's saying here, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. You know this man. This was a earth-shaking and earth-shattering notable miracle. Yea, the faith which is by him, hath, that's Jesus, hath given him, the layman, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There he was, one moment, on the ground, like a ton of bricks, and had never been able to stand up and walk. He was lame from his mother's womb. And then you have him walking and leaping and praising God, kind of like a resurrection. This is a miracle, a notable miracle that Jesus alone can do. And he's going to do it through those who know him. Remember, Daniel 11:32, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Is that your heart's cry today, friend? Is your heart's cry, as Paul's was, that you may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? Do you cry out with the psalmist, quote, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house or in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Verse 8, this is Psalm 27. The psalmist then says in verse 8, "When thou said," and this is what Jesus says to all of us, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. "When thou said, seek ye my face." Is that what the Lord's quickening you to do, my friend? To seek his face? Let me just stop right here and tell you that he is. Whether you're hearing it or know it or not, Jesus is saying to you, my friend, "Seek ye my face." When is the last time you heard a good message on seeking the face of the Lord? I can tell you that myself and a handful, about 5 to 8 believers years ago, we did this. We wrote down all the scriptures in the Bible on seeking the Lord. Oh, it was, I can't tell you how, there's no human words available, definitely not in my limited vocabulary, that could possibly compare to the blessing of going through these scriptures, writing them on index cards about seeking God. How about this? This verse right here is one of them. "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see." You see, and that's the answer of the true disciple of Christ. And if you're listening to me and you're bought by the blood of a lamb, he is telling you to seek his face. What is your answer, beloved? It must be of necessity for a disciple. "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Amen. The scripture says, "Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually." That's 1 Chronicles 16:11. I love that verse. Here's another one comes to mind because we memorized this. This is many decades ago. This stuff stays with you. The Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance. Whatsoever he's taught you. You see, he's limited to your own diligence and study in the Word of God. Some people might say, "How dare you say God's limited?" He's not limited in his own individual existence and capacity, but God doesn't work the same and as powerful in everybody's life. He has conditions on things. For example, 2 Timothy 2:21, notice this. Who's God going to use? "If a man therefore do what? Purge himself from these things," that is everything that doesn't belong to God in your life, "he," the one that purged himself, there's a condition, "shall be a vessel unto honor." How many of us want to be a vessel unto honor in the eyes of a holy God, amen, with whom we have to do, sanctified, set apart, and meet or fit for the master's use, that's Jesus, and prepared unto every good work. You got to be prepared. And that requires you preparing yourself before the Lord. So seek ye my face. "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." He answered in the affirmative. And that's what God's calling us to do. Remember 2 Chronicles 16:9. God told us that his eyes are scanning the earth. Say what? Yes, indeed. But what is he looking for? "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." He owns it. He made it. "And his eyes are traversing the whole earth to show himself strong." To do what? What is he looking for? To show himself. This is his desire conveyed here clearly. To show himself strong in the behalf of those of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So are our hearts perfect toward him? Notice this is good news for all of us. He didn't say performance. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect, not performance. Aren't you glad? I mean, we must reap what we sow. So if we sin, we're going to reap bad crop. At the same time, Jesus is looking right now. His eyes are scanning the earth to find those few whose hearts are perfect toward Him. Aren't you glad that we can cry out to Jesus? We can obey Him. We can seek Him, and He can give us a heart that pleases Him, a heart after the Lord like the psalmist. We should all desire and covet that God would say, that is a woman, that is a man after mine own heart. Acts 13:22. And notice this, speaking of the fact that God's looking at people whose heart, not their performance in the past. Your past is your past. David is the only man on record that God said, this is a man after mine own heart. And it certainly wasn't based on his performance, because he messed up bad. He sinned bad, and it took him a while to repent. Doesn't that give us hope? Psalm 51 is his psalm of repentance on record for us. And boy, we should be praying. Father, we pray right now you would give us a heart of flesh. You would cause us to be poor in spirit, Lord, as you define it, and as only you can cause this to happen. But Lord, we want to ask you for this. And Lord, teach us this cross, that we would be truly crucified with Christ and therefore raised up in his infinite, unlimited power that's been invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be, O God. Use us, O God. Raise us up. Lord, we know that the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead also dwells in us. Lord, set us free. Set us free, Lord, as only you can do. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Lord, we know you came, Jesus, to set us free and make us free, and that you will move with compassion upon those who were without you, Lord. You will move with compassion, and you exerted your authority that you said you have all of to save them. And Lord, we ask you to use us in this and cause our whole heartbeat, our whole constitution to be to know you and to be about your business, Lord, that we would go forth weeping, Lord. We would go forth weeping out of a poor spirit, poor and broken and contrite heart, which pleases you, bearing the precious seed of your word. And Lord, we know, according to your word, that we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves, our harvests, to lay at your feet. We love you, Lord. We thank you for it. Teach us your ways, O God. In Jesus' name, increase our faith. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.